Welcome to HRN on Tour at Charleston Wine and Food 2022. I'm Christine Sykes-Lowe, and today we are broadcasting live from the heart of Culinary Village. This episode is made possible thanks to the support of Hickory Nut Gap, builders of community agriculture since 1916. Our guest is Vivian Howard, an award-winning cookbook author, TV personality, chef, and restaurateur. Her first cookbook, Deep Run Roots, Stories and Recipes from My Corner of the South, is a New York Times bestseller and was named Cookbook of the Year by the International Association of Culinary Professionals. She created and stars in public television shows, Somewhere South and A Chef's Life, for which she has won a Peabody, Emmy, and James Beard Awards. Vivian runs four restaurants, Chef and the Farmer in Kinston, North Carolina, Benny's Big Time in Wilmington, North Carolina, and Handy and Ha and Lenore in Charleston, South Carolina. In October 2020, Vivian released her second cookbook, This Will Make It Taste Good, A New Plan to Simple Cooking. Welcome, Vivian.
Thank you.
I love that your beverage arrived right in time.
They just brought me a beverage just right at the perfect time.
It's the perfect timing. It's so good to see you again.
Thank you.
We are literally catching you right before your event at this festival.
Yes.
So it's going to be storytelling through food, and it's being held at your restaurant, Lenore, and it's going to have some of your closest friends and colleagues. Who inspire you? So tell us a little bit about that and about what the day entails.
Sure. So people always ask me like how I got into cooking, and the truth is that I got into cooking because I wanted to be a writer. And I find that in this industry, there are so many people that aren't necessarily just chefs or just restaurant people, but they consider themselves storytellers. And the other question I get asked a lot by young people is like, I want to be a chef. I love cooking. I love food. And I'm always trying to tell them like, that's great, but there's so many other opportunities in the food space
right.
that you could explore as well. And so I thought it would be fun to have a group of my colleagues and friends, because I only have friends through work.
Right, right.
that are storytellers as well and all kind of work through food, but through different mediums. So we have Baxter Miller today, who she's a photographer, and also she does brand identity for restaurants. And
I looked at her website; it's fantastical.
It's fantastic.
I mean, the photography is stunning, and she did the
This Will Make It Taste Good.
Okay,
and every photo you've seen of me in the last like 3 years she's taken, and but she didn't start as a food photographer,
right?
So I think what's so interesting to me, and what I hope we get to talk about today on the panel, is like all of you set out to do this creative thing, and mm-hmm. somehow you ended up doing that in the food world. Like, what brought you to that? So we have Baxter, we have Chidi Kumar, who her story is a little different because, you know, she's a storyteller primarily on the plate right now. She's incredibly talented chef in Raleigh.
She's also a rock star.
She's a rock star, yes.
And she's so literally a rock star.
She came to cooking and storytelling through food through a different creative medium, and I think that's really interesting. And you know, I could have chosen any of my chef friends because we're all kind of storytellers on a plate, but I think Chidi, more than anyone else I know, has taken all of her life experiences, whether that be traveling on the road with her band or growing up in New York and India, and like kind of just combining all of that into a concise story on the plate. So we have Chidi. I also really want Chidi to write a book, so I'm really pushing
yes.
her into this.
Where
into
music
this
melds with food. That
yes.
would be amazing. Hey, Chidi, are you listening? I think that's a good idea.
I'm about to talk to her, don't worry. Osai Endelin,
mm-hmm.
Who's a journalist, and she really talks about food and identity and culture and how they all connect. And also Andrea Weigel, who is a journalist as well, but more in the like reporter way.
And
like,
she was a producer on your show.
She was a producer on A Chef's Life
right.
and Somewhere South. She actually started off at newspapers, and she was a court reporter, and then started doing food journalism, and she was the food editor at the News and Observer in North Carolina for a long time. And so she has written cookbooks, and she's a completely different type of storyteller than all the others. And she also does PR for restaurants, and that's a unique type of storytelling, because you're trying to, you know, find out what's interesting and different about that particular restaurateur, that particular yes. story, and like what media outlets would be interested in. And so there's, you know, so much of what we do in this profession is about story, and I don't think we point that out enough. So that's why we're doing it today.
I think that's wonderful. And then you have some bites and sips to go along with it. Is it, how are these coordinated?
Absolutely. So I asked all of my panelists to give me, you know, a snapshot or a memory of like when they first kind of decided they wanted to delve into the world of food storytelling. And then at Lenore, we created a bite or a few bites that reference that. So like Osai, actually, I did not know this about her, but she started writing about craft beer in Atlanta. And so that's really kind of what started her on this journey. So we're going to have some flights of beer, some craft beer from Charleston and Eastern North Carolina. And Baxter grew up going to Buxton, North Carolina, on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and had a very strong connection to the food culture there, and remembers eating fried bluefish and then trying to go and buy bluefish to fry. And at the fish market, they were like, nobody buys that stuff. And so that piqued her interest as to, you
Wait,
know.
So nobody buys that stuff. Is that because it's just not considered a good cut
it
of
was
fish?
At, it was for people who were buying fish. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a trash fish.
Okay.
But for fishermen and people right. who lived on the Outer Banks, it mm-hmm. was kind of a delicacy. And so that was what she found interesting and intriguing. Yeah. And like, there's more to this story.
Right.
And Andrea, she has done a lot of, you know, historic documentation of recipes. She wrote a book on pickles. And she, at the News and Observer, she did a lot with baked goods. And she did like a cookie, kind of like a cookie contest. And so she has provided an old family recipe of this porcupine cake. And I was like, Andrea, that's really kind of hard when you look at this picture. Like, there's a million almonds on it. And she's like, well, you asked for inspiration.
So literally, okay, so porcupine cake, you mean it sort of has the look, the aesthetic
looks
of
like
it?
The outside of it looks like a porcupine because of the way these slivered almonds are all kind of situated.
That is a lot of work.
Yes. So she has a story about, I think that's one of the first things she researched and wrote about was this family recipe. And then my bite is a collard kraut kind of summer roll where we use a kraut leaf as the wrapper. Oh, shoot.
You caught it.
I caught it. Hold on. See, I have two sips of it, and I'm a different person.
No, hey, it's Sunday, and the weather is beautiful, and we're hanging out.
But so I have a collard kraut wrap.
Okay.
And for me, you know, I got into cooking because I wanted to be a storyteller, but then I got kind of wrapped up in the cooking.
Yeah.
And went on to work in restaurants and then open a restaurant in North Carolina. But that like kind of desire to tell stories around food or to find the reason I'm making something was always there. And so one day I was invited by some neighbors to watch them make collard kraut, or I actually wasn't invited. They gave me some collard kraut, and then I invited myself. I had to wait a year to go and participate in it because they only did it once a year. And all the folklore and storytelling and process and tradition around that was just so inspiring to me that it was the first thing I'd written in years.
So.
And that inspired A Chef's Life.
Oh, it did. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was the catalyst for that. It reminds me of during the pandemic, we all had time on our hands. It seems like a lot of people got into the fermenting thing
yes.
during the pandemic. You know, yes. when you have time to ferment. So,
and making sourdough bread.
Yes. yeah. Sourdough starters, you know, krauts, kimchi, that kind of thing. Do you miss The Chef's Life? Do you have, like, do you want to get back into the
I don't know. You know,
you're pretty busy.
Well, I stopped a chef's life because I just every personal and professional triumph or tragedy had been kind of documented for so long that I wanted to just like not have that be the case. But it was such a great experience for me, and I enjoy storytelling. I enjoy I'm curious. I love part of what we did, and I'd like to do something like that again, maybe. Not right now.
Well, the audience really connected to you. I mean, they saw a glimpse. Like you said, it is a peek into your life. So there's the pros and the cons of that. But you do have a way of connecting with viewers and, you know, telling story, just like storytelling. So a mutual friend of ours, Bill Smith.
Yes, I love Bill.
I just spoke with him. I know he was on several episodes with you.
Yes.
The finer art of corned ham.
Yes.
Persimmon pudding. Yeah, some of that good stuff. So I said, Bill, if you could ask Vivian one question, what would it be? If you were sitting here right now. And quote, I'm going to quote
him.
Oh,
my gosh.
Are you prepared?
I'm so excited for this.
It's not as bad as you think. Ask Vivian to talk about how she managed to reopen a burned-down restaurant, look after newborn twins, have a TV show, and begin writing a big cookbook all at the same time. I was as busy as I could ever be for the last 15 years of my career, but I don't know if I could have pulled off what she did. It amazed me.
Well, I look back on that time, and I don't know how I did it either, because I barely got out of my hotel room this morning to get here at 11. But I think I remembered that period of time when I had 9-month-old twins, and the restaurant burned down, and we were in the middle of making this sizzle reel for this show that, like, clearly was not going to happen now because I didn't even have a restaurant anymore. But I seen, you know, you kind of just take whatever you have at the moment, and it's what you know then. And I remember my mom saying to me, you know, everybody has this really busy time in their life, and yours is just busier than most. I think if you know that something's only going to last a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. you can do it. I think that's how we continue to have children in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I find myself in the position where I'm in that in-between period of aging parents and, you know, the kids. So it's that sandwich. You know, my kids are in college at this point, so I got a little bit more freedom there, but it's still a lot.
I mean, right now I think I have a lot. And when I think about all the things that I did back then, I really don't. But I think we always are kind of just right at the level that we can handle.
Right. And you prioritize. I mean, you start making hard decisions. And
I will say that when I was writing Deep Run Roots, that was the only mistake there. I didn't write Deep Run Roots while I was doing many other things. It's really the only thing that I committed myself to for a period of time. I mean, my children, yes, but I probably showed up for Deep Run Roots first.
Well, a book takes a lot of your being to put out on so many levels.
Yes, and for me, it was like, it felt like that book was something that was both my cookbook, but also a historical document of some kind, and I don't know. I felt possessed, almost.
I actually went to school in Greenville.
Oh, ECU?
Yeah, I sure did. I love the eastern part of the state. I just feel it has so much, obviously, as you know, to offer. And so I need to get back more. It's a little bit of a haul for me.
It's a little bit of a haul, yeah.
Yeah.
You're in Asheville. It's clear across the state. People don't realize how wide or long our state is.
Right. Like if you try to go to the Outer Banks from one area to the next. Well, is there anything else you'd like to talk about? What's going on?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm excited for the panel.
I know you said that this experience at Charleston has been really good for you.
Yes. In the past, I think I participated in this festival for maybe 8 years. And in the past, it's been just really stressful, you know, like packing up, taking a team, you know, prepping for weeks and then unpacking and just never knowing what you're going to walk into. But I guess because I'm old now, they let me do what I wanted, which is just talk.
That's the best thing.
I'm tired of hearing me complain.
Well, it has been great having you and great seeing you again. And I wish you the best of luck going forward and with your event today. It sounds amazing. Thank you for listening to HRN's live coverage of Charleston Wine and Food Festival. I'm Christine Sykes-Lowe. Special thanks to Hickory Nut Gap for making our coverage possible. We're grateful to all of our coverage on our podcast, Heritage Radio Network On Tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.